The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, April 13th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. We are the anchor of the Normal Network, 24-7 streaming of marijuana podcasts, the best from all across the country and around the world as well. Joining us here in the studio, of course, as always, is our engineer, Ganja John.
Those are really, really quiet. Sorry about that. Yeah, our audience is really far away today.
The audience is all the way in the other room. Here, yeah. Let's see if I can call them up here. Audience? Yeah, they are. They seem really, really quiet today.
Really quiet. What's up with them guys?
All right, but glad to have you here, John. We're having a good time. And today is Good News Wednesday, apparently, with our own cannabis carrier in Grastoria, Oregon.
It is. I don't know if I've ever had a whole news segment where all three stories were good, but if you stick around, that's what you're going to hear today. We have some update on celebrity news. Do you remember, Russ, last week when there was a Michigan judge who ruled that the medical marijuana program in Michigan was unconstitutional?
Yeah, yeah.
We've got another story similar to that, but with a better outcome. And also some good news for the patients in Montana. It starts with a V and ends with an E-toad. That story up first.
All right. Gee, I wonder what it could be. Also on today's show, Grateful Dread Public Radio brings us our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune. So today, Sara Indio, a little bit of reggae called Old Marijuana. And then at half past, we speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine like we do every Wednesday in our cannabis science segment. And you can call in and ask your questions at 971-533-7111 or just get into our chat room on Stickam and you can send your questions by chat. We'll ask them live of the good doctor. And then at the end of the show, time for a little bit of radical ranting. I don't know if you've seen this video of TSA groping the six-year-old girl at the airport, but I'm a guy who flies a lot and I got a few things to say about it. So we'll get to that at the end of the show. Plus, Toker Talk Radio in Hour 2, where you'll get to call in yourself and offer your opinions on the subjects of the day and hear us talk about a few more of the news stories. Coming up also on the Normal Network later tonight, 5 o'clock Pacific, Grateful Dread's Potpourri, Green Central Station from Iowa, John Doe Radio from Denver, and the Ganja John Show. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
If I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strzok.
And federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We were there when 11 states decriminalized marijuana use.
Seems like such a simple message, just say no.
We were there as mandatory minimums were enacted and the drug czar was invented.
And I didn't like it and didn't inhale and never tried it again.
We were there for medical marijuana. Marijuana legalization in 15 states.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual national conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strzok. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The bill that would have repealed Montana's medical marijuana law made it all the way to the Republican Governor Brian Schwartzer's desk. But that is where House Bill 161's journey ends. The governor vetoed that bill that would have overturned the voter-approved medical marijuana law this morning. Medical marijuana... Yes? It has become more and more controversial as communities in Montana have taken sides on dispensaries, and lawmakers have spent much of this year arguing over whether to restrict the medical marijuana program to just about 2,000 patients or repeal the entire thing altogether. They ended up passing a repeal bill in both the Senate and the House. Governor Schweitzer used his veto power not only on the medical marijuana repeal bill, but several others that he called frivolous, unconstitutional, or in direct contradiction to the expressed will of the people of Montana, referring to the 2004 vote by Montana citizens that made medical marijuana legal in the state. The program currently has about 28,000 registered medical cannabis users. Lawmakers have pitted themselves directly against the Montana voters by saying that the medical marijuana boom in the state had gotten out of hand and that the voter initiative has too many holes to be effectively reformed. But now, with a little more than 1 week left in this year's session, lawmakers will need to scramble on passing that strict regulation bill, Senate Bill 423, that is currently in a conference committee if they want to impact the medical marijuana program at all this year.
Wow, this is, of course, the greatest news we could start the day off with. Carrie, though, I've got some bad news for you, unfortunately.
What's that?
Governor Brian Schweitzer's a Democrat.
Oh,
I was going to say.
That makes total sense, yeah. You know, I just put the R, so it's just one letter off. If I would have typed the whole thing out, I probably would have caught it. That's a Republican.
There we go. That's the Fox News excuse, right? It was just a letter. That's okay, Carrie. That's, whatever happened, man, whoever he was, whatever party it was, it's vetoed. The repeal bill is vetoed. And the principle of it, I like how he refers to it as, you know, in one of his statements he said something about, you know, going directly against the will of the people. Yeah, the will of the people that passed medical marijuana by 62%. 272,000 Montanans passed this law, and yet you're going to have 63 of them in the House and 29 of them in the Senate decide that, no, they were wrong? Really? You were going to go with that. Really, Brian Schweitzer vetoing this may partially be just because, you know, he's standing up for that principle and have nothing to do with whether he thinks medical marijuana is good or bad. And it also may have a lot to do with being a Democrat in Montana trying to get reelected. I don't know if he can run for reelection another term, but if so, you know, going against 272,000 voters and 30,000 registered patients wouldn't be the best move for getting votes. You know, I think that's a lot of the calculation here. But again, it doesn't matter what party. It doesn't matter what reason. It is a good thing that today 30,000 Montanans can rest assured they won't be criminals come July 1st.
And a follow-up of sorts, Montel Williams, the medical marijuana advocate and former TV host, was busted last year going through the Milwaukee airport with a cannabis pipe. Williams had the brand new, never-before-used pipe on his carry-on luggage when TSA agents stopped him at a security checkpoint. Montel Williams suffers from MS and has had a medical marijuana card for many years. The TSA agents confiscated the pipe, temporarily detained him, and then issued him a $484 citation. He was just returning home after trip to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he has been undergoing some experimental treatments for his MS. Williams paid the fine and went on his way. Well, now a Milwaukee judge has dismissed the drug paraphernalia possession charge against Montel at the request of the prosecutor after he learned that the pipe that was seized tested negative for any marijuana. Since the field test failed to turn up even a trace of cannabis, it was a lack of evidence that actually got the whole case tossed. Williams, who reportedly remained calm and polite throughout the whole ordeal, said that he was glad the matter was resolved and he hopes that a lesson might come out of this arrest. He told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the matter wasn't about somebody trying to do something illicit, that he was just trying to take his medication, and the incident will hopefully spark some conversations that will help to more rational minds finding a way to solve the problem and take the patients off the battlefield. He also added that he didn't realize that he accidentally left the pipe in his bag, and then he apologized to airport security and authorities for causing them a headache. Williams' pipe will not be returned to him, but he will be getting his $484 back. Reportedly, the check is already in the mail.
You know, there's a reason why the camera's on me during the news stories. Okay. Well, this is good news that Montel's not going to get charged here. But, you know, how much time was wasted? How many prosecutors' hours and lab techs' investigatory time were wasted testing a brand new glass pipe, wooden pipe, excuse me, brand new pipe, whatever, for cannabis residue?
It was actually metal.
It was a metal pipe?
Who uses metal?
Yeah, all right. Whatever that was, you know, whatever the pipe was made out of, some lab tech has wasted taxpayer dollars, time they could be using, I don't know, processing a rape kit, maybe DNA evidence at a murder scene. I don't know what else they might have to do at the crime labs. I always hear that the crime labs are overburdened. But no, we've got plenty of time to test the pipe for Montel Williams to try to find the barest, tiniest scrape of resin so that we can prosecute him on a charge that would, what, give him a fine, a ticket, a, you know, misdemeanor or something? Really? This is the absurdity to which our country has gone in the name of trying to protect ourselves from the marijuana hordes out there. And I don't want to go too far because it's starting to venture into my rant territory for the end of the year, but or the end of the show. But also think of the TSA guys, right? You know, this is what we're doing to protect our airline flyers, is to make sure that celebrities don't get on planes with metal pot pipes. I mean, it's just absurd. And I believe a large and growing segment of the American public agrees with me as to how absurd this is. And in a state like Wisconsin, they've been trying to pass this Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. It's been up to the legislature. It's not as if the activists there aren't trying to get medical marijuana passed. It's not as if the people there don't support them. They do. They support them overwhelmingly. There's like 60-70% polled support for medical marijuana in the state. It's just the intransigence there in Madison, at the Capitol, amongst these legislators who are afraid of being painted as soft on crime. Or, oh my God, we don't want Wisconsin to turn out like California, ignoring the fact that we've got 14 other medical marijuana states that are not turning out like California. It's just a weird thing. To round this up, though, I want to remind folks that Montel Williams will be at the Normal National Conference on Thursday. This is a set now. Thursday, the 21st, he will be moderating a Denver mayoral debate that takes place at, I believe, 12:30 to 2 Mountain Time. It's in mid-afternoon Mountain Time. Check our agenda at normal.org/conference for the exact times. And you'll be able to see that debate live here on Normal Show Live absolutely free, streaming on the Normal Network, as well as all 3 days of the Normal Conference, streaming here live for free on the Normal Network. And I got more good news for you on that front. And let's see, I think Carrie's probably got one more story, so I'll make this short. John Doe Radio will be co-broadcasting with us, bringing you live coverage from the vending area with interviews with people that are, milling about, people that have been on the stages and so forth, as well as covering the Thursday evening High Times and Normal Activist Awards, at which Ziggy Marley will be playing an acoustic set of new music from his new album. That'll be coming to you from John Doe Radio's feed. And John Doe Radio's feed will be live on the Normal front page while it's happening. So we're going to get some more membership and more listeners for John Doe Radio as well. And, of course, John Doe will be there all 3 days. And I think he's got some special party that we're doing on Friday night as well, too. Yeah. So all sorts of great stuff happening in Denver, Colorado. John Doe Radio is going to be a big part of it, and as they are a big part of the Normal Network. So we'll see you there, Montel, and we'll see you there, John Doe Radio, at the Normal National Conference.
And we told you earlier this week about an American District Court judge in Michigan ruling that the Michigan state medical marijuana law is unconstitutional. Now, a Canadian judge has come to the same conclusion, but for entirely different reasons. And an Ontario judge has overturned the rules that prohibit the possession and production of cannabis, and the government has just 90 days to respond, or, according to law, the ruling will become binding. Ontario Justice Donald Taliano was ruling in a case that involved a seriously ill man, Matthew Myrna, who uses medical marijuana to help manage a variety of ailments, including fibromyalgia, scoliosis, and a seizure disorder. He was charged in 2008 after police seized 70 marijuana plants from his apartment. The court heard compelling reasons for Mr. Myrna to use cannabis medically, but he was unable to find a doctor in his area who would sign a doctor's declaration that would make his cultivation of cannabis legal. Technically, he was cultivating medical marijuana illegally under the Marijuana Medical Access Regulations Law. His lawyers argued that the problem wasn't the fault of the medical marijuana laws, but that a doctor could not be found to sign the declaration, even though he would obviously qualify with his long list of medical ailments. The legal defense put forward that all drug laws are unconstitutional since his prosecution violated his rights of liberty and security under Canada's Charter of Rights. The judge agreed, and in a decision that may have far-reaching consequences in Canada, Judge Taliano ruled the following, quote, "The deleterious effects of the MMAR, that's the Marijuana Medical Access Regulations Law, on Mr. Myrna and other similarly situated individuals are clear. Seriously ill persons who need marijuana to treat their symptoms are forced to choose between their health and their liberty. If they choose their health, they must go to significant lengths to obtain the marijuana they need, including lengthy trips to purchase the drug, resort to the black market, and living with the constant stress that at any time they could be subject to criminal prosecution. Those already sick individuals must further cope with the added stress of the stigma and social rejection of friends, family, and members of the public who see them as criminals. This is not to mention the real fear of losing one's doctor simply by inquiring about the drug and damage to the patient-doctor relationship," unquote. The Canadian government must now respond to that ruling, or it will become binding and marijuana production and possession will be legal in Ontario, Canada. Now, in the meantime, Judge Taliano gave Mr. Myrna a personal exemption to possess and grow cannabis. We will keep you updated on this amazing story from our northern neighbors.
That's really cool. Glad to hear about that. And I'm no expert on Canadian constitutional law by any stretch of the imagination, but sounds like good news to me. Declaring marijuana possession and cultivation laws to be prohibitions to be unconstitutional. I've got only one thing to say about that. That's my analysis.
I knew that we'd use that someday. I put that on the computer like a year ago.
There'd be weird. There's some call for that eventually. All right. I got one more story for us here. This is a story out of the other Portland, Maine. Maine's highest court says a couple can sue a hospital that disclosed confidential health care information to the police, leading to drug charges against them. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court on Tuesday reinstated a lawsuit brought by Dwayne and Debbie Bonney against Stevens Memorial Hospital in Norway. The Bonnies went to the hospital in 2007 after being assaulted at their South Paris home. A security guard overheard them telling nurses what happened and called over the Bonnies' objection and called police over the Bonnies' objections. Police went to their home and found evidence of marijuana cultivation. The Bonnies claimed the guard violated their rights under federal and state laws. The Supreme Court ruled state law does not shield healthcare providers from liability for disclosing confidential information unless it invokes an examination to obtain evidence for prosecutors. So let me just kind of summarize what this story is about. These people are medical marijuana patients. They're cultivating at their home. They get busted by, they get broken in by some home invasion robbers and assaulted. They go to the hospital while they're talking about their assault for their marijuana garden. A security guard hears the word marijuana and decides that these people should be prosecuted. Don't have much news on what happened to the people that actually assaulted the two patients here. But it's good to know that the Supreme Court of Maine has at least stood up for the privacy rights of these people and not made it so that we're afraid to go to the hospital when we get assaulted in these grow ripoffs.
What do you think about a break, eh?
I think it's a good time for a break, eh? Take off that toque, you hoser. Come on, time for some back bacon and smokes, eh? Be right back after this, eh?
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
West Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis feel legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. Brought to you by Grateful Dread Public Radio, Summit, New Jersey's progressive peace station at gdreadradio.net. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Greetings, one and all. Grateful Dread with you from the studios of Grateful Dread Public Radio in Summit, New Jersey. I hope the day is treating you well. Be sure and stay tuned to the Normal Network. At 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, we debut the second installment of Grateful Dread's Potpourri, a compendium of news, music, activism, and more. This week, we feature an interview with California-based cannabis activist Debbie Goldsberry, a hero of mine. It's a very interesting conversation, so join us for the show. Meanwhile, today in the Hill City where I live, it is windy, rainy, and cold. But I promise, today's Irie Wednesday Toker Tune will light all kinds of warm fires. The featured artist is a woman known as Jazz Jewel, who has won the Marijuana Music Award numerous times. Sara Indio knows her way around jazz-inflected reggae. The music of the One Drop is a magnetic and mystical force for the Philadelphia native. She moved to Hawaii to sing with the Jaringa reggae band many years ago. Her songs have evolved since then into inspiring missives that contemplate the beauty and enigma of life, and they work to convey the message of universal truth and rights. Eventually, she became a solo artist and released two albums, Good's Gonna Happen and Change. Now, Sara is collaborating with veteran reggae guitarist Tough Lion. But her voice and vision are clearly her own, and her work calls for global change with grace and compassion. Gotta love that. Learn more about the artist at her website, saraindio.com, and on MySpace. You can buy her music on iTunes. And today, my friends, we have a delicious sample for you. This is Sara Indio and her self-released cut, Old Marijuana.
Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon, at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Yo, what's good? This is B-Real of Cypress Hill, chilling on Normal Show Live. Legalize it.
This is Normal Show Live.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years. They've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, it's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the president, the Congress, and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. The young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now, here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, folks, every Wednesday we visit with Dr. Mitch, and it's always a good conversation. We learn the latest in marijuana science, but we also take questions on culture and health and history. So if you've got them, let's open up the phone lines. The line is 971-533-7111, or you can get your questions in via Skype. And Dr. Mitch, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, I hope things are going well with you, and we always open up this first part for you to tell us the latest science news, if there's any new studies we need to know about.
I'm getting a lot of emails about the story that suggests that indoor grows are sucking up a certain percentage of all the electricity, 1% of all U.S. electricity or something like that. And I just want to point out that we don't have anything to compare that to. God only knows how much electricity Big Pharma is sucking up, for example. Ah. So I don't want people to overreact to this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Kerry did deliver that story for us. And they had all sorts of things. Like they said, one joint is 2 pounds of CO2. And then we started to think about it. Well, are they counting then the plants themselves sucking in CO2 while they're growing? You know, is that counted? So, yeah, it's all sorts of interesting topic for debate, and certainly we'd be better off to be growing outdoors and not using indoor lights. But like you say, we don't really have anything to compare it to.
Well, and I really want to point out that all this American ingenuity, if you will, about the filters and air circulation and things like that is a result of prohibition, not a result of actual, wholehearted growing.
Yeah. Okay. And we've got some questions coming in here from our chat room, and we're waiting for calls at 971-533-7111 if you want to get your live question in with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Our first question from Hasavok asks, there's this saying, you got a cough to get off. Is there any validity to this, or is it just in everyone's mind?
The clincher here is think about what your subjective state is after you cough without any cannabis. So, in truth, the coughing experience, especially if you do happen to break a small blood vessel in your lungs when you are coughing very hard, is a little bit odd, and that alone feels kind of funny. And in fact, if folks would cough with placebo weed, I think they would notice a kind of strange change in their subjective state as well. So also it's correlated with often taking a very big hit. Mm-hmm. So it's rare that you cough from a little baby hit. And so, unfortunately, I think people confuse the increased THC exposure associated with a big hit with the coughing. So I think there may be more lore there than actual fact.
Yeah. And I've got another theory on this. I wanted to run it by you. I was watching this show. I can't remember where it was on, but it's some sort of science, maybe Nova or something. I watch a lot of that. But they were talking about breathing and how most people breathe from from their chest. You know, breathe up real high and shallow, and that you should really breathe from your diaphragm, low and deep. And that I thought that maybe the cough to get you off thing is just in not necessarily how big or small your hit is, but how you're breathing it in. In that, if we're mostly chest breathers, we're used to the smoke up there, but when we get the smoke down in the lower area, maybe that's where we're coughing or not used to it as much. Any validity to that idea?
I like that. That's got a lot of intuitive appeal, and I think if we all would breathe more from our diaphragms, we would notice that we've got better energy, we're a little less lightheaded and things like that. Let's do that experiment.
Oh, I love coming up with experiments for Dr. Mitch and all his graduate students. I just wish I lived on that side of country so I could participate in them.
Absolutely. You're always welcome.
All right. We have a question here from Miracle Seed, and he prefaces it by saying, I know this is a medical marijuana show. Well, you know wrong, because this is a legalization show. But, okay. He says, I know this is a medical marijuana show, but could you address a social use question? Is there, or are there, herbs that will aid in increasing the effects of the high from cannabis? That is there anything that's a synergistic effect with cannabis to increase its effect on you?
As it turns out, there's not a lot of published literature on this. So you can imagine the mainstream drug journals don't say, hey, here's a way to get even higher.
Yeah.
A couple of substances that seem to do that, of course, alcohol slows the metabolism of THC, but I really don't recommend combining those two. And the other one that's been suggested is Damiana, which has some subjective effect on its own and might be mixed with cannabis in an effort to change the subjective state. But as strong and as good as cannabis is now, I just think it might be a silly use of your effort.
Mm. Dr. Mitch, why do you not recommend using alcohol and marijuana together?
In part, the synergistic effect is one that people don't often understand when they're trying to make decisions about subsequent use or about what they want to do now that they're in that subjective state. So the impact on driving of cannabis alone is probably relatively small. The impact of alcohol on driving is, of course, horrid. In fact, the combination of marijuana and alcohol tends to impair driving in ways that even alcohol alone doesn't necessarily do. So I just kind of apprehensive about suggesting that as a way to enhance subjective effects.
Mm. Yeah, whenever anybody asks me this question, I always say, you know, a glass of wine is fine, but leave it at that.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, you know, a glass of wine would get Ganja John to only 0.02. I don't think it would be a big deal, but yeah. If somebody, some 98-pound woman, it would be...
Might be a different story.
Might be a different story, yeah.
And exactly. I wonder, Dr. Mitch, too, because this is something I'm starting to hear from some of the prohibitionists in their responses. They're fine-tuning it a little bit to say that if marijuana were made legal, not only would there be more people that were smoking pot, but there would be more people that are drinking and smoking pot. And then they've got all this data on how bad that is to use against us. Any thoughts on that?
I think the tacit assumption there is that people are going to get more impaired total, and in many ways it encourages me to do my usual soapbox about sobriety testing, essentially roadside sobriety testing, motor-type tasks, rather than trying to go for some kind of per se law or THC metabolite in the blood and things like that. In truth, the cannabis as a substitute for alcohol versus cannabis as a complement to alcohol is very different for different people. I know plenty of folks who can't use both at the same time without throwing up. I know others who really enjoy it. But whatever you do, by all means, just do it at home.
I can only testify anecdotally that Keith Straub is far better at the combination of wine and joints than I am.
Yes.
Far, far better. Yes. All right.
Well, you have to understand that he probably got started around the time you were a fetus.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. All right. Let's go back to our questions from the chat room here. Or, again, we're still waiting for calls at 971-533-7111 with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. L. Angel wants to know, does eating before you take a medicated edible really affect how much the edible will affect you? Or should you have edibles just by themselves?
As it turns out, the total effect will be the same, but the magnitude of your peak, so to speak, will probably be smaller. I actually don't recommend doing edibles on an empty stomach because people who are using edibles often want a long duration, relatively mellow, relatively low peak THC so that they can, say, you know, sleep the whole night through or have a modest impact for a long duration to keep symptoms away. And in a sense, if you do that, eat on an empty stomach, the THC is absorbed more rapidly. You tend to have a much higher peak blood THC level and then a bigger crash on the way down. Not that cannabis really produces much of a crash, but it's a much more dramatic up and down that you can avoid by, you know, having a nice glass of milk with your cookies.
It sounds like eating, you know, regular food along with edibles is more like one of those contact pills, the time-release pills. It'll kind of last you longer. Is that the idea?
If you could essentially have those little coatings around your THC, that would do the trick immensely well.
Hmm. All right. We've got a question here from one of our chatters who asks, I have a question about a BBC show called Should I Smoke Pot? A doctor on the show said cannabis causes holes in the lungs. And I'm sorry. Our studio audience is a little unruly. He wants to know if that is true.
I believe I saw that same show. And yes, this is pretty much about as insane as it gets. I can't imagine what could have inspired this kind of thing. We've talked about Don Tashkin's data on the show before, that folks who use cannabis and only cannabis may show some symptoms of bronchitis, some coughing and wheezing and things like that, if they're not vaporizing. But we don't see the rates of lung cancer that we see in folks who are smoking tobacco, for example, and don't see elevated rates of lung cancer compared to control group, at least the control group that's huffing down the smog in Los Angeles.
Okay, so it is as silly as we had originally thought from our studio audience here, so good.
I agree with your audience wholeheartedly.
All right, we have a question here. This is an interesting one, and I'm having to Google it right now to find out what she's talking about. Brand new stuff being, well, I guess it's not brand new. It was April 4th. I guess I need to catch up. But Lisa Boston's asking about the federal bill H.R. 1364, the Free Speech and Science Act, introduced by Representative Jared Polis of Colorado, who will be speaking at the Normal Conference. He's our keynote speaker. And according to the Free Speech About Science Act, the bill will allows producers of healthy foods and dietary supplements to cite legitimate scientific studies on the health benefits of their products. And she just wanted to know if you'd heard of this bill and what you thought of it.
At least when it was originally proposed, it was trying to permit people to mention these studies even if their product didn't have essentially USDA approval. So you'll see a lot of advertisements for supplements, for example, that'll say it'll do this and it'll do that, and then there'll be a little asterisk, and at the bottom it'll say not USDA approved, or these claims are not approved by the federal government, or something along those lines. It seems only fair that consumers ought to have access to this information if there really are data out there, even if it hasn't gone through the full FDA approval process or the USDA approval or anything like that. And so I think that this is a good idea, and in fact, you know, more information is better. I think as long as it doesn't turn into some kind of deceptive advertising, and in some ways I feel like this is more candid and more useful than these crazy claims, like some of those weight loss things that says, you know, this is going to give you cut abs, and then there's a little asterisk in it that says, no, it won't.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about the big screen TVs. We can actually read those fine print now, and the DVRs, you can pause them long enough to read through some of them. I encourage you to do it. It's funny. There's some great stuff in some of those disclaimers there. Yeah, I was just looking this on Google, and maybe I'll write a post on this later. Oh, my goodness. We have some sort of alarm going off here in the studio. Wonderful. Oh, we're doing it live. But anyway, let me move on to the questions, and then we'll mute my channel for you to answer them. How much does cannabis increase your heart rate compared to moderate exercise, and what's the difference on how they raise your heart rate?
The intriguing thing about cannabis-induced tachycardia is there's a lot of individual differences, and it looks like folks who report stimulation from the plant are also the ones who seem to be getting these bigger reactions in heart rate. In fact, some work I had done on alcohol years ago has been replicated and shows that people have disparate reactions to alcohol in that same way, and that may relate to their risk for developing problems with it. With exercise, it really is a reaction to muscular need, in that the muscles are now demanding more oxygen, and so the heart is beating more quickly in response to that, and that's really, really good for you. With cannabis, it's really a much more direct path to the heart. So it's not that the muscles are needing more oxygen. It's just this is something that actually increases heart rate more directly. It's not going to give you that exercise effect, no matter how much we might love to think so. And so it really is no substitute, shall we say, for the way heart rate increases with exercise.
Let me just demonstrate on camera that smoking pot and sitting in a chair is not an exercise regime. Okay. Let's go on.
That brings me to my joke. You know how I get my runner's high?
No.
I get high, I sit down, and I don't run.
Okay. We've got a question here asking, Dr. Mitch, is there any way to combat the munchies, and is there a link between CBDs and the munchies?
We don't have a ton of data on CBD and the munchies. It really does look like THC is the source of these appetite-enhancing effect. We even see it in little protozoan. So the paramecium will start doing his little flagellum towards his little baby mouth faster if he's in a medium that has THC in there. I mean, wow. It's really astounding that this works all the way down the phylogenetic spectrum like that. The way to avoid it sounds kind of odd, but basically you have to moderate dose, find a strain that's not particularly likely to induce the munchies, and it sounds strange, but if you actually eat beforehand, it looks like you're less likely to then get this outrageous munchie binge eating experience.
Okay. We have time for a couple more questions, but I want to remind people listening, if you're listening on the podcast, of course, you're not able to get the live questions in, but you can always send your questions to Dr. Mitch by email to 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. And oftentimes the questions become subjects here on the show or even subjects for clinical studies. So get your questions in. It's always fascinating to hear from the people out there. And we'll wrap up here with a couple more. Mountain Lover has a question. What is the ramification to the world of science from making a beneficial plant illegal? Just what things maybe that we haven't thought of as how science is affected because marijuana is illegal?
The sad thing is, literally any prohibition handcuffs researchers so that we can't investigate whatever that topic or whatever that subject matter or whatever the substance is. So right now, there are a whole bunch of things that, because they're essentially in the underground, we're never going to know. And even if they aren't funding priorities, we could do a whole lot of stuff just on a shoestring if we would only get the opportunity to do so. So with cannabis, the things that are most flagrant are the chance that there is no more research than there is, but also the range of different strains that we know absolutely nothing about in this country and that other countries are actually getting ahead of the United States on, and the opportunity to show positive uses, again, is completely unknown under these current circumstances. And this is actually the case with a lot of other taboo topics. So right now, research on things that you wouldn't, you know, necessarily think are so taboo, but prostitution, gender differences, things along all these different lines, we don't get to investigate, in part because they're illegal aspects of the behavior. And then it makes even folks who don't want to necessarily administer it in the lab also basically face some trouble because people are unwilling to confess to engaging in this behavior, mm-hmm. in part because it's prohibited. So we have to make the best sense of the data we can, often, you know, ensuring anonymity, trying to get folks to confess inadvertently, claiming we can detect it when we can't. I mean, I hate to say it, it turns us into kind of a nation of liars under these circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And I think of the personal repercussions to really good researchers, really good, smart scientists who get denied and sometimes even vilified or stereotyped because of their interest in some of these, in studying some of these aspects. You know, one comes to mind, you know, Professor Craker out there trying to, you know, petition the government to be able to grow research quality marijuana to study, you know, these medical effects. And you know, Professor Craker's the farthest thing from a Cheech and Chong stereotype you can imagine. And all the headaches he's had to go through and the petitions that have been approved by DEA judges only to be denied by politicians and bureaucrats. And this is this guy's livelihood. This is this guy's, you know, dream and his passion. He went to school for years and years and studied and did all this hard work. And now he's given up on it. He's like 70 now. He's given up up on it because he's like, it's not going to happen. So I think of that. Do you think of that too?
I mean, I have to hand it to him. He's had an amazing career in other botany aspects, and when you look him up, you realize he's really done well for a guy who didn't get to do the thing that he wanted to do most. But other researchers, you know, when I think about Lester Grinspoon retiring as an associate professor at Harvard, despite all that he'd done and never actually getting promoted to full professor, that pisses me off, man. Yeah. That's just not right.
That ain't right. All right, our last question here comes from our colleague Tim Martin at John Doe Radio. Can you get pneumonia from hash oil?
Wow. No, it seems pretty unlikely, unless there's some kind of odd mold growing in the hash oil or something like that. It seems extremely unlikely that it would create a pneumonia effect.
I know from the use of hash oil that can create a really intense cough.
And crazy cough. If you're sick, it's not a good idea to use hash oil.
And sometimes like have a spastic lung kind of thing going on. Is there any reports on that or?
Some of those are just heat related, depending on how you're, you know, ingesting the hash oil, and it's usually short term. It's not like you actually then have a cough for a week after using it. Isn't that consistent with your experience?
That's consistent with my experience, but next time I see you, Dr. Mitch, I'll give you a 30-minute cough.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure he's looking forward to that. Oh, gee, can you serve up some rancid stew for dinner, too? Why not? Oh, Dr. Mitch Earlywine is such a good friend of the show. We love having you here on Wednesdays for our Cannabis Science segment, and thanks so much for joining us again.
Looking forward to it again. Bye now.
All right. When we come back, a little bit of radical ranting.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
Eyes a kite, everybody!
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live.
Roll a big fatty.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
Radical Ranting.
All right, folks, every now and then in the Radical Rant, I will stray just a little bit off the beaten path of marijuana and get into some other topics of civil liberty bent here. But believe me, there is a marijuana tie-in on this one as well. It's this case of the Transportation Security Administration. Is that what TSA is? Yeah, TSA at the airports. And a lot of people have seen this video going around. It's kind of gone viral. And it's a video here, and there's nothing disturbing about it, you know, from a... gruesome or anything, so you don't have to turn your eyes away for that. But it is very shocking in that this is what we consider security in this country. This is what's necessary to protect us from the threat of terrorism. This is the video from YouTube of the 6-year-old girl in the airport being groped by TSA. And that's the girl's mother. And the TSA agent, a woman, she's explaining to the mother that she has to do this examination and how it's going to be done. I'm going to go to the outside of the clothing and so on. Here comes the little girl. Reaching inside her shirt, patting down her sides, inside her waistband, all the way around, front to back. Back of her hands touching her buttocks, up and down the thighs and legs. Down the front of her chest. Inside of the front waistband. On the front of the crotch.
Thank you. They're doing the drug test on her, the whatever test.
I understand.
On the 6-year-old.
Yeah, that's the job.
Run this one over there, run that over there.
They're doing the drug test on the 6-year-old because, you know, God knows we can't be safe unless we're sure that our 6-year-olds aren't smuggling box cutters, liquid explosives, heroin, shampoo in a bottle that's over 4 ounces, a pocket knife.
Can we do a little bit of a count here? The TSA has found zero terrorists.
Zero.
But they found Montel's pipe.
They found Montel's pipe and they rubbed down a 6-year-old girl. So that's the safety. Yeah, that's the safety that we have purchased here in America. And I want to refer you to one of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, in 1755, wrote, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And in fact, I've even got the graphic right here. I'll show you right on the screen. This is from Benjamin Franklin right there, 1755 letter from the Pennsylvania Assembly to the Pennsylvania governor. "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And does this make you feel any safer, America? Do you feel any safer here that we're protected from this 6-year-old girl? You know, maybe this gets me a little bit more because I fly more than most people. I've got the routine down, man. When I go, I got a jean and t-shirt. I got no belt, nothing metal, no change in my pockets, one small carry-on with my netbook, and most importantly, no visible pot leaves and no smoking in the clothes that I'm going to fly in. And never once have I been frisked by the TSA. Not once have they ever patted me down, even on some of those occasions where had they patted me down, they might have found a little something. But they always seem to pat down the middle-aged businessman next to me, the silver-haired grandma, or like this case, the little kid. I've seen kids getting patted down too while I've been in the airport. Oh, and most especially, any woman dressed in Muslim garb. Every time I have flown, I have seen at least one woman in Muslim garb being patted down by TSA people. So I'm kind of actually secretly hoping that they'll grope me someday so that I can do my Meg Ryan and When Harry Met Sally impersonation. I'll be moaning and screaming. I hope everybody gets their YouTube cameras out this. It's just so illogical. But really, when you think about living in a country that will throw gardeners in prison it kind of makes sense. Whereas the two reactions are similar. Our reaction in the war on drugs, the reaction in the war on terror, when you wage war on nouns, you're bound to end up doing some pretty illogical stuff. You know, first we get a guy that gets on the plane with a shoe bomb, so now we can't. We have to take our shoes off when we get on the plane. Then a guy gets on a plane with some chemical liquids, right, that he can make an explosive. So now you can't get an antiperspirant in a container any bigger than 3 ounces. Not just on the plane. I mean, go to your local Walgreens. Go to your local store. Try to find an antiperspirant now anymore that's more than 3 ounces tall. They're all off the shelves because people can't fly with them. And then, you know, some guy gets on the plane with his underwear that have, you know, explosives in his underwear. And so now we have to be randomly groped or have photographs, x-ray backscatter photographs taken of us and loaded into databases to make sure that we'll be safe. God forbid some guy smuggles a bomb up his ass, because I don't know if I'll be able to fly anymore if a prostate exam is the cost of getting on a plane anymore. Now, some people will come back and say, oh, but yes, I don't want to be blown up on a plane. If we have to suffer a little indignity, that's not too big of a price to pay. Well, usually this guy that's saying that to me is someone that doesn't fly 12 to 18 times a year like I do, so I don't have as much sympathy for that kind of thing. And I'm reminded of a famous quote by not Ben Franklin this time, but George Bernard Shaw. It's that famous thing where a certain gentleman inquired of a lady whether she'd sleep with him for 50,000 pounds, and she said, well, for that money, I suppose so. And then he said, well, would you sleep with me for 2 pence? And she said, no. What kind of lady do you think I am? And he says, madam, I believe we've established that. Now we're just haggling over the price. Well, America, what's your price? How far will it have to go before we realize that this war on drugs and this war on terror is really just a war on us and a war to take away our civil liberties? How much indignation will you put up with in the airport just to get across the country in a reasonable amount of time? How many civil liberties and doors broken down and homes burst into and dogs shot will it take before we realize trying to stop people from smoking pot is illogical?
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roam it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.